Well, good to have all of you back. Good to see visitors here with us tonight. And we're thankful to be able to have an opportunity to get in the Word of God tonight. We'll be in the book of Mark. Someone left two CDs up here on the pulpit a couple weeks ago. One says, No Longer I, Mercy Tree, and one says, The Power of the Cross. So if these belong to any of you, they're here. I guess nobody belongs to them, so we'll move on. The Financial Peace University Peace class started tonight. Financial Peace University, FPU. It started tonight, and if you are able and on the nursery roster and would like to help one of the weeks, please see Sister Maria so she can add you to the help. It'll be at what time? 4:45. You'll need to be here so you can help watch the children for those that are taking the class. And that would be a blessing to them, so they're not wearing out everybody during the class time. There's only 8 more left, right? Only 8 more. That's it. Started with 9, now they're at 8. How it works, 1 week at a time. So if you can help Sister Maria, please see her after church. She'll get you scheduled, and then she'll get maybe your cell phone or something. She'll send you a reminder. Text you a reminder that, hey, it's coming up, because this is extra and beyond our normal nursery schedule, and they could use all the help they can get with that. If you're able, that would be a real blessing to the class there. And you're expecting 19, Brother Hector? 20. We have 20 that's registered this time. That's the largest class that they've had. And it's not too late. If you have a friend that's interested, they can still go. And next week's free still. So today was free and next week's free. Now, none of that money goes to Brother Hector. It doesn't go to the church. What it is, you buy a lifetime packet of material. So you buy this material from the Dave Ramsey website. You buy it. It registers you as a lifetime. So say 10 years down the road, you move off to over to Oregon, and you say, man, I need a refresher course. You go right over there and take it, again, free. That costs you another, it's 99? 93 now. They've given a little bit discount this time. $93 for a lifetime membership and the books that come with that. So take advantage of it. It'd be a big help to you. You know, get you financially focused on what's going on in your life. You know, some of us have so little money that we think it doesn't matter. Oh, it does matter. Don't worry about the amount you have, the little amount or the large amount. Get some basic financial principles that will help you. And if you don't take this one, take another one. Any would help. You know, it can help you along the way. All right, Mark chapter number 8, verse 1. Let me say again about the men's retreat that's coming up, April 7th and 8th. If you want to go, let me know tonight. Get you on the schedule. We have 6:15 now that's going. But we need to let them know tomorrow how many's going. So there's 15, and that's April 7th and 8th. We'll leave about 11:30. And if you can't leave at that time for work, but you still want to go and would like to drive down on your own or maybe partner with somebody else, you can do that as well. But we'll leave by 11:30 on the 7th and come back on the 8th of April. 8th of April. So there's 16 going now, 15 going. So we'd like to take more. Men, if you're able, you're available, please let me know tonight. As soon as church's over, we'll get you on the list. I've already taken down the list. But I will get you written in over there in the office if you want to go. Just let me know right after church today. That'll be good. Mark 8, verse 1. The Bible says, In those days, the multitude being very great, having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude. because they have now been with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them came from far. And his disciples answered him, "From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness?" And he asked them, "How many loaves have you?" And they said, 7. Verse 6. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people, and they had a few small fishes. He blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Let me say thank you to our seniors for inviting my wife and I over to eat a meal with you this morning, this afternoon after church. It was a blessing spending time with you and eating with you. Even though we didn't meet the age requirements, we appreciate you allowing us the opportunity to be there with you. Now, as we read this passage of Scripture, we noticed that it's talking about the feeding of 4,000. So I did some searching around, looking around, and seeing the thoughts on what was being said about this. And there are a lot of commentaries that say that this is an error in the Word of God. It's a mistake. I'm amazed at how they could figure this out. But they said because Jesus fed 5,000, now it's saying he fed 4,000. And so this is a mistake. I mean, I want to say at least 5, maybe 7 different commentaries that said this was a mistake. And I was like, this is why we're struggling so much in Christian. We're always questioning the Word of God, always having problems. Now, they're confused for whatever reason because in one portion it says 5,000, one portion says 4,000. Well, couldn't it be just simply this, 2 different separate things? Just simply read the Word of God. Well, how would they find it? Would they like dig deep and like have to go back over to Zechariah and Lamentations? And how about just reading the whole entire chapter? Go with me to Mark 8, verse 19. Isn't it amazing that our God must have thought way down in time in the year 2000 and 17, which we're in, that there's going to be 6 or 7 commentaries and theologians that have trouble understanding that this is 2 different events. So he wrote it down in the Bible form. Look here in verse number 19. So I don't want you to get confused because a lot of us are Googling everything nowadays. I mean, we Google. We Google and we Wikipedia this and we Safari that and we go all over the internet. So listen. Read the Bible. It says here in the same chapter, in verse number 19, when I break the 5 loaves among 5,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? They say unto him, 12. And when the 7 among 4,000, how many baskets full of fragments took ye up? And they said, 7. It's 2 different events. Don't let liberal theologians who don't want to put any authority in the Word of God to confuse you. This is 2 different events. Now, in the 4 Gospels, it is recorded about the feeding of 5,000, but only in Matthew and Mark is it covering the 4,000. So this is why they come up with all these here little things. Well, because it's not in all 4 Gospels, because it's mentioned here, it's got to be a mistake. It's got to be. Jesus understood that, and he covered that all the way down in the same chapter. You don't have to do a whole lot of digging if you just read the context of the Scripture. The best commentary that I've ever found on the Word of God has been the Word of God itself. Now listen, I read books. I have books over my office, and I study through the books. And today, like I said, this week I was looking to see what men were saying, theologians were saying, and writers were saying about this event, because I've heard it said that some people believe that this is a mistake and an error in the Word of God. Well, the mistake is simply this. We don't read. We try to come up with something new under the sun so that we seem smart. So that we, the writer, we, the theologian, we, the commentary, we write a new book and we've got to come up with something different so we want to feel smart. So we make up things. I told you about the group of men that was out in California probably about 20 years ago. They were trying to figure out what we call the words in red in our New Testament. Y'all know the words are red. They change them. It's just some formats. Some publishers do it. Some publishers don't. You might open your Bible and there may not be any words in red. In my Bible, there are some words in red. That is done by the publisher to say these are the words that Jesus himself was speaking. Just a tool. It's all it is. Just a help. Kind of like some of you have maps in the back of your thing. Just a tool. Well, this group of men, these very educated men, were trying to figure out whether or not if Jesus really said these things or not. They were using marbles. They had different color marbles, and I've told this story here before. And you know, if he said it, they put a red marble. If he didn't say it, they put a black marble. If they weren't sure, they put a white marble. And then they added up all their marbles. When I was a little boy, I played with marbles. When I became a man, I put away childish and foolish things. The Holy Spirit of God is living within us, and we have an unction from on high. And may I say to you, church, we have an absolute authority. Amen. Preserved by God Himself, given to us by God Himself. And we take it as it is, and we look at it. We allow the Holy Spirit of God to teach us and train us and to show us and interpret and give us understanding through study of the Word of God. Don't allow men, no matter how educated they are, to bring doubt upon God's Word. Do you understand that is the oldest argument in the Bible? That was Satan's very first, yea, hath God said. Yea, back way off in Genesis before men fell, right there in the garden as the serpent, he came, yea, hath God said. Yes, God has said. He said, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but thy word shall remain. It's not going to pass away. So just so if you go home and do some studying on your own and look in the Word of God and you're reading this, you say, man, I thought just a little while ago back over in Mark, and a few chapters before, Pastor looked, read through this and it was 5,000. It was there. You're not confused. It's two different events. Don't Google it and allow somebody else to bring some kind of doubt into your mind about the Word of God. That's how the devil works. And if he can create doubt in one area alone, then I'm telling you, there'll be doubt coming from every time you read the Scripture. There will be doubt. Now, verses 1 through 5, we see Christ here seeing a need. We need to keep our eye open. We're to live and act and to represent Christ here on this earth. We are His representative. The Bible says ye are ambassadors. So we need to keep an eye open for those that might have need. Those that have a need. Jesus saw the need. He was followed by a great multitude off into a desert place. Now this particular place where he's at is amazing. Thing is that a lot of these people that were following him this time were Gentiles. Many of them were Gentiles. Isn't it amazing that Jesus would take compassion even upon the Gentiles and feed them the same way he did the disciples? The Jews, back when he had most of the other ones in the 5,000 feeding, were mostly Jews. And so he had just compassion on them. He had compassion. Why? Because Jesus died for the world. He died for the world. So here the compassion is shown by the Savior there. It is remarkable that he shows such compassion to folks that are really just coming around just to try to see a miracle. That's all they were interested in. They really wanted to see Jesus do some kind of miracle. And I'll be honest with you. If I was living during the time of day that Jesus was walking upon this earth and walking around, and here come a guy that was a leper, and he had boils and all over him, he had to walk around crying, unclean, 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 and Jesus walked upon him and began to talk to him like he did the ten, and then all of a sudden he sent them their way, and their skin began to clear up, and they began to the flesh began to come new again, like it was as if they had just come out of their mother's womb, and the boils and the sores were just gone away. I would be excited. I'd want to see it. If I had seen a man lower down into a roof, and I'm sitting there in the house, and people are gathered around, and they lower this man down in the house, and his four friends got him by ropes, and they're letting him down. He's a lame man. He can't walk, never walked. And Jesus would say, hey, take up your bed and walk. And I'd see the guy walking. I would be excited. I'd want to see that stuff. I'd want to see it. I'll be honest. I'd want to follow it around. I'd be like these folks. I'd be going to and fro and going from place to place trying to follow. You know, as we've studied this scripture, I don't know, I have not counted, but I think I'm going to count this next week. How many times Jesus got in a ship, went to the other side of Galilee. Got in a ship, went back to the other side. Got in a ship, went to the other side. Got in a ship, come back to the other side. It was back and forth. Back and forth. Kind of reminded me of the kings. In the nation of Israel, you had a good king, you had a bad king. Had a good king, had a bad king. Had a good king, had a bad king. But God was still God. Amen. Jesus got on this side of the Sea of Galilee, and he was still God. Got on this side, he still did miracles on the north side, south side. He was still God. Didn't matter where he was at. Remember one time he was on the seashore, and the disciples was out in the middle of the sea, and the storm was coming up, and their boat was rocking around. They thought they was going to die, and they saw him come walking on the water. The other time in the Sea of Galilee, he was down in the bottom of the ship, asleep. With him or without him, he was still God. The God on the mountaintops, the God in the valley. And I'm telling you, dear friend, we need God in much as in the difficulties of life as we do need in the easy times of life. We need him. Jesus saw the need, he saw the multitude, and it didn't bother him that it was a bunch of Gentiles that needed help. He said, hey guys, we got to feed them. We got to take care of them. This is an amazing thing. This is how we are today. And his disciples answered, verse 4, from whence can a man satisfy these men? We can't, can we? Men can't do it. You and I cannot meet. Let me tell you something, dear friend. You or your spouse cannot meet every need that you have for each other. We need Jesus. We need God. God, listen, I as your pastor cannot meet every need that our church has. I cannot. I am feeble at the, I'm a failure at best trying to meet those. But listen, if we present Jesus Christ and him alone, who is well able, he can take care of every need. This is just a little bit difficult thing here for the disciples to gather and to understand. How can we satisfy these men? And pretty good question. In the other place, Philip said, we have 200 penny worth of money. How can we buy bread for 5,000? How can we do it? They still had not figured it out. Still had not understood that this here was a small matter for the Lord. Now, in Mark chapter 6, over in chapter 32, you find the feeding of the 5,000. Mark chapter 6, verse 32. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately. And the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and he ran afoot thither into the cities. He said, I'm at the right place. Yes, I am. I'm keep reading. I get it. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, in verse 34, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep having not having a shepherd, and began to teach them many things. And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, this is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about, into the villages, and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. In this portion of the passage, you find the disciples seeing the problem understanding there was a problem, understanding that they needed to take care of the need, but didn't know how. The best way was to send them away. Verse 37, he answered, said to them, give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, shall we go and buy 200 penny worth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, how many loaves have ye? And he said, and when they knew, they say, 5 and 2 fishes. He commanded them to make all to sit down in companies upon the green grass. And they sit down in ranks by hundreds and by fifties. And when he had taken the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set them before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. And they did all eat and were filled, and they took up 12 baskets full of fragments of the fish. Just like it said in verse 20 over there. Two different completely things. This is how Jesus worked. And then in this chapter we just read, he fed 4,000 with 7 loaves and few small fishes, and they had how many left over? 7 basketfuls. Now what does this show? What does this show? Listen. This shows that the Lord can take our little bitty supply. You know that old song, little as much when the Lord's in it? Our little bitty supply. He's not asking for everything you got because he already owns it. We've got to figure that out. Everything we have belongs to God. He's not asking for everything. It already belongs to him. He's asking us to yield back. Say, Lord, here it is. Whatever I have, take it, use it for your glory and for your honor. And when he gets done, he makes sure it's well done. Here's 5,000 in one chapter, 12 baskets full of fragments left over. Here's 4,000 in another chapter, 7 baskets. Full, there it is, just laid out. Just laid out. You know, Christ supplies the need. Look back over in Mark chapter number 8, verse 6. Mark 8, verse 6. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground and took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and gave his disciples to sit before him, for them. And they did sit them before the people, and they had a few small fishes. And he blessed and commanded to sit them also before them. So they did eat and were filled. And they took up the broken meat that was left, 7 baskets, and verse 9, and they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. You know, in Scripture, the number 7 is God's number of perfection. Just listen, you couldn't do it. I see the need. When are you going to learn? I am the bread of life. He began to break in verse 7 and began to bless and began to pass it out. And the Bible says in verse number 8 that their need was fully met. Look with me over in Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter number 1. Flip over a couple of pages. Hold your place in Mark chapter 8. Luke chapter number 1. And verse number 37. This little bitty verse here is a good one to hide in your heart. The Bible says here in Luke chapter 1, verse 37, for with God nothing shall be impossible. Look over to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 19. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. This is the Lord we serve. I mean, dear friend, when we read through the Scriptures and we read through these here miracles and we follow through the passages as we study through the book of Mark, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, and we see all these miracles, we see all the things that Jesus is doing, it is so that it can increase our faith. It's so that it can increase. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. In verse 8 of our chapter 8 of the book of Mark, in verse number 8, you find the 7 basketfuls. Listen, there was plenty of bread for all that would sit down. Who's the bread of life? Jesus. According to John 6:37, all that the Father give me, the Bible says this, shall come to me, and in him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. There's not an end to the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's not a bucket full, and it's maybe a 55-gallon drum, and we dip it out teaspoon by teaspoon, and when it gets down to the bottom, it's all over. That's what some churches would have us to believe, dear friend. There's only enough grace for a certain amount of people. The Bible says the grace of God has appeared to all men. There's some that try to teach folks that, hey, I'm sorry, you're just on the wrong side of the aisle here. You're not going to be able to make it. Jesus only saves a few. No, he saves whosoever will. You know why there were 7 basketfuls left over this bread? You know why there was 12 basketfuls left over the bread back over in Mark chapter 6? The picture let us know there's enough for all. When Jesus gets done, he said, it is finished. There's enough salvation for the entire world if only they believe and trust in Christ. Now listen, I'm not going to stand up here and tell you 1 minute that everybody is going to get saved. The Bible says and teaches us that hell hath enlarged their city. There's a lot of folks that are going to spend eternity in hell, but it won't be because the grace of God wasn't there. It won't be because that God didn't make opportunity for them to get saved. It'll be because of the choices that they make that they are not saved. Now here's a scenario. There's 4,000 men in this chapter, 5,000 in the other chapter. Now just bear with me for a moment. Just to say, Jesus said, send them down in their hundreds and their fifties. What if this 50 over here decided, well, I just don't like that type of bread? Would it hinder the work of God? There'd have still been 12 basketfuls, and they would have done without. That's what's happened in salvation. Well, I just don't like it full and free. I think I've got to do something to work for this. I don't like the fact that God said that Jesus is the way, the truth, life. No man comes to the Father by Him. I must be able to do something. And they refuse to partake of the bread of life. And they reject Christ. He said, I will in no wise cast in you. What a picture. What a picture. You know why we have all these here yahoos running around here trying to convince us that this isn't true? Because they don't believe God's grace is enough. I'm trying to confuse the situation. I'm trying to confuse them. Look over Revelation chapter 22. The last book of the Bible. So if the bread of life is enough, What should we do with it? Here, Revelation 22 will tell us. Revelation 22 and verse 17. The Bible says in Revelation 22:17, and the Spirit and the Bride say, come. Let him that heareth say, come. Let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. You know what we do? Because we know that this here is true, that this here is not some mistake that was written down and just to fill in some pages. We understand that it is a picture and type of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bread of life. You know what we do? Come. Hey, if you're thirsty, come. Hey, if you need salvation, come. Whosoever, and it is our job to tell the message of Christ. The bread of life. No mistake. Because if this is a mistake, John 3:16 could be a mistake. And if this is a mistake, the resurrection could be a mistake. Perhaps he's still in a tomb somewhere. Perhaps he was just simply a man. A good man. But oh no. Thou art the Christ. The Son of God. Jesus. The resurrecting power of life and salvation is in Him and in Him alone. And there was enough for the 4,000. There's enough for everybody we meet. Share Jesus. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes, cast your bread upon many waters. Dear friend, I'm going to tell you something. You can't pass out enough tracts. You can't tell somebody enough about the love of Jesus. You can't share the story of Christ with too many people. You cannot. Take every opportunity you can, because there's some hungry people in this world. You know how Jesus saw knew there were hungry people? He saw it. Open our eyes, churches. Open our eyes to those around us and see the need for Jesus. This world needs Jesus. Well, I'm looking forward to that day when we get up to heaven and we get to go running around on the street of life and get to go up to the throne there and we get to see the Son of God, Jesus Christ Himself. Get to see those nail-scarred hands. Get to see that side that was pierced through. And get to hear His voice audibly. I can almost imagine when I'm reading the Word of God, and I'm studying the Word of God, and I'm alone by myself, as I read it, I can almost hear that voice. I mean, it's just like, man, you sure, Lord, you're there? But I can't wait till I get to hear it. And I want to hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You fed them. They refused to eat, but you fed them. Listen, it's not our job to do any saving. Yeah. I don't know what in the world we got all these religious fanatics running around here saying, I got to save this one, save that one, run upon this one, and save that. Our job is to water and to plant, sow the seed, let God bring the increase. That's our job. Be found faithful. See the need, the multitude, the supply is there. Jesus Christ, our Lord. Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you, Lord, for this day, for the opportunity again to be in your house. Lord, I pray you bless our church, Lord, as we continue to reach out to this world and our community. Lord, through our soul winning efforts and visitation, and Lord, through our mission program, through the Scripture Press. God, we cannot do too much with getting Jesus out there in the world. Help us to understand as a church that the banner of love, that Jesus Christ, the rose of Sharon, the resurrecting life, the great I Am, is the only answer for this world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, choir, don't forget to come to your place and be